Hello again and welcome back everybody to another edition of The Jungle Show. We are so excited to be back. It has been a long time coming. Basketball season has ended back in March, especially for the Auburn Tigers after losing in the second round to the Houston Cougars back in March. And then here we are, three months later, we're here to talk about Auburn basketball because we have a lot to talk about. We have some additions. We have a coaching change. We have players leaving. We have a new schedule, a new matchup. We have a lot to talk about, and we're ready to get back in the role of these things and start doing this more often. Obviously, we're not going to do it every single week like we did the offseason last year, and that was really tough, but we managed to do it. But we're not going to do that this year, so that way the quality of the shows will be much better, and we'll do the shows as needed. But we've got a lot to catch up on. A lot has happened since we last spoke here on The Jungle Show, and to do that, I brought in my dad and co-host again. Dad, good to be back here on The Jungle Show, and can't wait to talk about some Auburn basketball again.
It's always fun to talk about Auburn basketball. It was heartbreaking to lose the game in March, but it's always fun when you kind of figure out what your team's going to look like next year as far as additions and subtractions. And so we've got a lot of that talk definitely to go through tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're just going to kind of get right into this. This is going to be a long show because we got a lot to talk about. And this one's just going out on podcast only, but for the future, we're going to try and get them up on YouTube as well. So, but let's start and mention the guys that were on this past year's team that will not be returning for different reasons. We'll talk about why. We'll just go by one by one. Then we'll talk about the new coaching hire, and then we'll talk about all the new additions and guys returning. And then we'll mention the new schedule, the new opener that we have at the beginning of November. So we got a lot to talk about, and I can't wait to get into it. But let's jump right in. First, talking about guys who are not going to be on the team anymore. Starting off with Wendell Green, the point guard, the transfer from Eastern Kentucky, who spent the last two seasons at Auburn, was an all-SEC type of performer. Really, really love Wendell. He declared for the draft, did not come back. There are rumors about that situation, but just first off, give me your thoughts on Wendell's Auburn career and what he was able to do at his time here at Auburn, and what do you think he's going to end up doing down in the future? Because I think we both agree that the NBA may be a reach, maybe a bit of a big step for a guy like Green. But what do you think's next for Wendell?
So let me start there. I think he's an overseas player, and I think he'll make a good living overseas. I think he'll be very good overseas. I don't think he's an NBA player. I don't think he's big enough to be an NBA player, and he's not a good enough shooter. So let's take the NBA kind of off the table for him and be excited about what he can do in a league overseas somewhere. You asked what I overall thought of his career. We talked a lot last year. As Wendell goes, so goes Auburn. Yeah. He was PG1. Everything ran through him. We didn't have a scorer at the two last year. We had a guy at the three who sometimes was a scorer and sometimes wasn't. So Wendell put a lot on his own shoulders, and I respect him. I cheered for him, and I'll cheer for him if I ever get to see him play. Don't watch a lot of overseas basketball. Maybe he plays in the G League. We don't know. Maybe he plays in the G League and we get to see him play a little bit more. So, yeah. But a fantastic ball player. Very good. Just has to get better outside shooting.
Yeah. Got to get better outside shooting. And I think moving forward, the NBA is going a different direction than those small, under the rim type of point guards. If you're going to be a small point guard, you've got to be able to finish over the top of a 7-footer, and that's not Wendell. You know, he might be able to do that with a crafty little move or layup or Euro step or something like that, but that's not Wendell's game.
You have to be a dead-eye three-point shooter.
Absolutely.
If you're 5'10", 5'11", you better make 60% of your threes.
Yep.
It's just the way it is in the NBA because all those point guards are 6'6 now.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So Wendell moves on. There were some rumors, and I want to get your thoughts on this. There were rumors back when Wendell was trying to make this decision, whether to come back or to go through the process, then come back, or to go through the draft and stay in the draft, which he ended up doing. There were some rumors that Wendell and Wendell's family wanted him to come back. They wanted Wendell to continue his education at Auburn and play for Auburn basketball next season. But Wendell didn't have a spot on the team due to an incoming freshman we're going to talk about here in a second, and a returning point guard who showed very, very bright things at the end of last season. Well, give me your thoughts on what do you think Wendell was processed in this process?
So they're just rumors. Neither one of us sat in that room with Bruce and Wendell's family. Mm-hmm. But everybody knows that a scholarship is a 1 year redoable every year. Mm-hmm. And nobody's guaranteed a spot or a scholarship. So do I think that, first of all, I don't know if he was processed or not, but I do know that Bruce Pearl was not happy with this year and is doing everything he can to make sure they don't go through something like that again.
Yeah.
So maybe in his mind, he had his point guards set up without Wendell being there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We weren't in the building.
Yeah, I could see that. It's a business, and yes, Bruce Pearl has to look forward no matter what for the better of his team and for the better of this program. And looking forward is not always taking the guy who just started at point guard last year, but it's moving on, understanding what you've got coming in, understanding what you've got coming back. So, but Wendell moves on.
We got really upset at a football coach a couple years ago because he was loyal to a fault. And maybe didn't play the best players, played guys he was loyal to. I think Bruce just showed, if that rumor's true, Bruce just showed that loyalty's great, but it is, like you said, it's a business.
Yeah.
It is a multi-million dollar business, and you've got to run it as such.
Yep. So, and he needs to look out for the better of his team and his program. And that's, I think that's what he did. So now moving into a little bit of a different situation with a different a similar kind of guy, but a different situation. And I say similar type of guy, I mean experience and playing time at Auburn. Alan Flanagan goes to Ole Miss following his father, who takes the assistant job at Ole Miss. And first, I want to talk about Wes. I want to talk about Wes moving very, very laterally to Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say that is a downgrade, and I agree. I think going from the assistant coach at Auburn to the assistant coach at Ole Miss, considering those two basketball programs and where they are at right now, I think that is a downgrade as well. However, that move is a building step for Wes Flanagan. And I'll tell you this right now. It's because Wes sees a better opportunity to go and sit behind one of his very, very close friends in Chris Beard, the new head coach at Ole Miss, the former Texas coach. Who had false allegations against him and all that. I don't know. I didn't pay close to
that situation. Yeah, she dropped the charges.
But he goes there. He sees the better opportunity to leave Ole Miss and become a head coach rather than just to leave Auburn, because somebody's got to figure out – I know Bruce's contract is until 2029 or something like that. Right now, all signs are pointing to that next coach being Stephen Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
And Wes sees the better opportunity to go sit behind Chris Beard and then move on from there. And I know it is a very lateral move, if not a downgrade, just like I mentioned. But it's a move that would be, in my opinion, you got to relate it to a assistant coach who's a position coach going to a coordinator spot at a worse school. I think he's moving up, but moving to a lateral school. He's moving to a different SEC school for the same position. He's still an assistant coach, but he sees the better opportunity to become a head coach, which he inevitably wants to be one day, which I'm going to root for Wes absolutely at 100%. What he did for Auburn was unbelievable. Played here, coached here for many years. But Wes moves on to Ole Miss. Give me your thoughts.
I think a lot of what you said is true. I think the biggest point you made that I would agree with is he looks at the situation at Auburn and sees Stephen Pearl yes. as the obvious front runner for when Bruce leaves. I don't know if he's been told that. I don't know if that's a coach in waiting. I don't think so, because we've got a long time with Bruce left.
Yes.
But like you said, he sees Stephen being in line for that. As far as it being, I think at worst, it's a lateral move. I don't think it's a downgrade, because he's still a top assistant at an SEC school. If he went to the Conference USA and was an assistant, I think that's a downgrade. So I don't know that it's a downgrade. It's at best a lateral, because it's not a bump up. But like you said, he and Chris Beard have been friends for a long time.
Yes.
It hurts our recruiting, I think, mm-hmm. the most. We took a hit already when he left.
Mm-hmm.
Filon decommitted. Peyton Marshall decommitted and probably going to end up going to Miss. So I think it hurts in recruiting initially, maybe this year. But it helps Ole Miss. He's a good coach. He's a good recruiter, and he'll be a head coach.
Definitely.
I don't know all the story with what happened behind the thing with Chris Beard and his wife at Texas, but if I'm Wes Flanagan, I'm like, I may be able to step into the Ole Miss job even quicker than I think.
Yeah.
Because you never know what's going to happen with the Beard situation. So, yes, I think it's it was an interesting move, but if I look at the situation, if I put myself in Wes's shoes, I see Stephen Pearl standing there, who's becoming a very good coach.
Yep.
And I kind of go, I think I'm going to go hang out with my buddy and see if I can't get a job out of Ole Miss.
Yep. So with Wes doing that,
so let me bring my son with me.
He brings Alan with him. Alan, originally we didn't hear anything from Alan Fayer for a very, very long time. We had heard about Dylan. We'd heard about Jalen and Janai all testing out the draft. We had heard about incoming transfers and guys coming back. And we had heard about Wendell. We didn't hear anything from Alan Flanagan. Right at the deadline, Alan decides to go to the transfer portal and commit to Ole Miss a few days later, I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure that was just the move all along, and he was just getting everything sorted out there. Alan did graduate from Auburn University, which, look, you can't dislike what Alan did at Auburn. Obviously, there was extreme moments where I wanted to jump through the screen with Alan. Yeah. But he really did great things at Auburn. I think without his injury, he would have done even better things.
I agree. I don't think he'd have been there this year.
I agree. I think he would have gone to the pro. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But he moves on and immediately becomes one of the top players for Ole Miss, who also gets Matthew Morrell back. This Ole Miss team got so, so much better.
Better
coaching, absolutely.
Beard's a good coach.
But now Alan leaves. Now there's another void. But first we talk about that void. Before we talk about who's going to fill that void as well, give me your thoughts on Alan's career here at Auburn. He is officially done in an Auburn Tiger uniform.
You said it. He was the whipping boy for a lot of Auburn basketball fans. Let me change it. He was the whipping boy for a lot of Auburn football fans who happened to be watching basketball. And went, well, this guy is very inconsistent. I don't like him. Mm-hmm. He is a fantastic athlete, an elite athlete. He's got the ability to shoot. He just was real inconsistent with the shooting. And I think fans got frustrated with, and we all got frustrated. You get frustrated with all of them at some point in time.
Absolutely.
What Allen gave to Auburn was a lot.
Yep.
I've heard rumors that he wasn't the best teammate in practice. So maybe it's addition by subtraction.
Yep.
But I always enjoyed watching Allen play. He plays above the rim. He's got a big, strong body. He's an NBA three guard. If he can make sure that he gets all,
if he starts being consistent,
gets everything consistent. Yeah. He's an NBA three guard, and I'll claim him as a former Auburn Tiger.
Yes, definitely. Now you have to think about, all right, how do we guard Allen Flanagan? Who guards Allen Flanagan? Because you're going to play Ole Miss probably at least twice upcoming year, which is going to be an interesting matchup now, especially with Flanagan and both the Flanagans on the Ole Miss sideline. But how do you guard Allen Flanagan? If you're Bruce Pearl right before the Auburn-Ole Miss game, I don't want you to tell me who goes and guards him, because we may be talking about him here in a minute. But how do you guard Allen Flanagan? How do you get in Flanagan's head, whether either you're in Neville or you're in the pavilion? Do you do to stop
Flanagan? The jungle will get in Allen's head because they won't be friendly.
Yeah.
And that's just – look, that's just college kids, college athletics. When kids go to a different school, they come home, it's not going to be a friendly reception.
Yeah, it's natural.
If I'm Bruce Pearl, I make him prove that his shooting has gotten better. I do not let him drive. Mm-hmm. And I talk to him about it the whole time.
Yep.
I tell him, you can't make that shot. I'll give you that shot all day. We're here all night.
That's Janai's job,
You're not going to drive on me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let you. I've got help. And I'm going to back 3 or 4 feet off of you and make you make 3 or 4 3-pointers in a row before I come out there full bore on you.
Yeah.
So that's how I guard Allen Flanagan. I'm not going to get up in his shirt with him, because he's going to go by you, and he's athletic enough to finish around the rim.
Yeah.
So
for me, I think the one thing I would just make sure, and listen, this isn't just for Auburn, anybody, because you watch these guys when we're sitting here watching all these Auburn players play over and over again. You understand what their strengths and weaknesses are. We talked about all of this past season, how we would defend Auburn and how we would beat Auburn, but how you would stop Allen Flanagan, you got to keep him out of transition. You can't let him run. You can't let him drive to the basket, just like you said. And I agree. If you make him prove that he can make 4 straight 3s before you start thinking about getting
anywhere near him on the perimeter.
I dare him, and then I definitely get in his head. And that is the jungle's job. And Neville in the pavilion, I think that's Janai or Chad Baker Mazzara's job.
Yeah, and I think both of those guys will
can do it. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so two other guys that left that were expected to leave. I think we can say that. Obviously, Zepp, who's graduated, who's like 37 years old. No, I'm just kidding. We love Zepp.
For a long time.
He's been playing basketball for a long time. He's going to go play with the War Ready Squad.
That'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, we might do a little show on that.
Yeah.
After they conclude their tournament.
If it's like last year or the year before, it'll be 20 minutes into that game, it'll be over. Maybe they'll be better this year.
Maybe Zepp will
guard somebody.
Maybe he had maybe he can fill it up on the offensive end. I don't know.
What?
That would be a little concerning. But Zepp leaves. We love Zepp. We wish him nothing but the best. And then Stretch leaves as well. He's off into the – did he go to the transfer portal?
I don't know.
I do think he did go into the transfer portal. Give another year a shot. Go play somewhere. Get some minutes. I love Stretch. He did amazing things for Auburn as well, just like Zepp, just like Allen, just like Wendell. Even though Wendell, Allen, and Zepp all played significant minutes for Auburn, and Stretch didn't. Stretch did unbelievable things for the program and
everything
practice
I've heard.
So he's amazing.
Both of those last two guys, are when you say what is an Auburn man,
Yeah.
Those two exemplify, in my opinion, what an Auburn man is.
No doubt.
Zepp was the type of kid that gave everything he had. He was not what you needed in a two guard. We needed a scoring guard. He's not that.
Yep.
He was a defender, but he gave everything he had. He always had time for others. Every time you see him on social media, he was talking to fans and hanging out with people and just enjoying his experience at Auburn. The same thing can be said for Stretch. Gave everything he had. Everything I've heard from media who goes to the practices every week were saying Stretch is one of the best practice players out there. He's always jumping first in line. He's always running as hard as he can. He's always doing whatever the coaches ask him to do. He's a true Auburn man. Mm-hmm. Both of them will leave Auburn with and can hold their heads high for what they did.
Absolutely.
I have a great amount of respect for both of those kids. And we'll root for them, like we said.
Moving forward, yeah.
Yeah, and War Ready. I can't wait to watch that play War Ready. And you never know. Maybe Stretch comes in and plays with them.
Yep.
We don't know.
Could be Stretch and Horace out there at the same time. That'd be
that's a lot of length.
Yeah, it is. So now we just talked about a lot of the subtractions, a lot of the people leaving, Wes leaving. Now let's talk about what's coming in, and let's start on that coaching staff. Replacing Wes Flanagan is former Texas Tech assistant and Arkansas assistant Corey Williams. Corey Williams is a 52-year-old former NBA champion from 1993
with MJ the Chicago and the Bulls.
Yep, absolutely.
I remember him.
Past two seasons, he spent at Texas Tech as the assistant coach and as the interim head coach this past year. He also, from 2019 to 2021, he was an assistant at Arkansas, so he has that SEC experience. Mm-hmm. And then for the six seasons before that, from 2013 to 2019, he has head coaching experience at Stetson University. He's an unbelievable recruiter, was the head recruiter for many guys for Arkansas. Daniel Gafford, I believe, was one of them. He brought in a bunch
at Arkansas.
He can bring in talent. He can bring in talent and had some really good recruiting jobs done at Texas Tech as well. So
which that was one of the four teams in the Final Four with us. They were talented. They were loaded with talent.
Yeah.
They were loaded with talent. And he was partially responsible for that, along with Chris Beard, by the way.
Yep.
Weird that we give one of our assistants to him and he gives one of his former assistants comes to us. So.
Yeah, yeah. So I really, really like this hire. When Wes left and that spot opened up, I feel like they have been expecting one of those spots to open up soon.
For a couple of years,
and,
I think.
Everybody was like, oh, we got to go get KT Harrell back. Got to go get KT. And I understood and really wanted KT to come back as well. Come back as a former graduate assistant at Auburn before going to being an assistant coach at Florida Atlantic, who had an unbelievable this year. Yeah. Went to the freaking
Final Four.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But I knew that they wanted to go get a guy with SEC assistant coaching experience and a proven recruiter that has shown that he can get it done at the max level in the SEC, in the Big 12, even at a head coaching level as well. So I knew that they wanted to go get an experienced guy, and that's what they got with Corey Williams. Just like we mentioned, a former NBA champion as well.
So this is the difference between being a fan of the school and being a coach at the school. Being a fan of the school, it was obvious. It was KT Harrell going to come home, just finished coaching in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Going to be all the fanfare and everybody's going to love him. And that's what the fans wanted. That's what I want. That's what I thought was going to happen. But I didn't put myself in Bruce's shoes. Because you put yourself in Bruce's shoes and, you know, like we said earlier, it's a business. I've got to find the best person for the job.
He's got to find the best Wes Flanagan replacement.
Yes. And KT Harrell is not there yet.
No.
KT Harrell still has some look, he's coming off a Final Four run. I think he's fine at Florida Atlantic. He's living on the Atlantic coast of Florida, coaching basketball at a school that went to the Final Four. He's doing okay. But if he can keep proving himself there and keep building the recruiting resume, maybe he does come back. But bring Corey in, you get a proven SEC coach, you get a former head coach, you get a guy who knows the area, the systems, who like you said, he walks in with credibility hanging off of his finger.
Yep.
Because he's got the NBA championship ring. Yep. He's played with the best to ever play it. Yep. And yeah, I remember him. I remember watching it. I was a big Bulls fan because I was a big Borden fan. And I remember Corey playing. Good player. I'm excited about him. So we talked about losing in recruiting this go through because Wes left. Corey comes in. There's not a lot he can do, in my opinion, this year. He can really help in the next cycle. Mm-hmm. And like I said, when he was at Texas Tech, he was the guy bringing in those kids, and they were up there with us in Virginia and Michigan State. Mm-hmm. So I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Big
kid. Really, really a fan of this Corey Williams hire.
Yep.
So next, I think the next guy that we want to talk about is probably going to be my favorite to talk about of this show. This is going to be fun. Aiden Holloway, incoming freshman. You only have one.
The only one.
Yeah. Last time it was only one incoming freshman was 2 years ago. It was Jabari Smith Jr.
That's right.
He plays for a little team called the Houston Rockets now. He was all right at all.
Yeah, he was pretty dang good.
But, so Aiden comes in as the lone freshman, the five-star McDonald's All-American. His nickname is Biscuit. He was the number 3 point guard and combo guard in the country and the number 15 player in the class. I have this written down in my notes right here. He plays, you watch him play, he plays to score, but he is a playmaker. He plays a lot like a guy like Wendell Green. He's a better shooter than Wendell Green.
Right.
But he also plays like Sharif Cooper in that playmaking aspect. He's going to make those pinpoint passes that are you're just going to be like, whoa, what? How do you do that? Yeah. And then, but I have on my notes, he's Sharif with a 3-point jumper.
Yes.
He's a dead eye outside shooter with extreme range. He can create his own shots just like Sharif and Wendell and Jared and Javon, all good, and Kareem Canty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, all these guys. Yeah. So, I love it. He comes in and he's instantly point guard number one, especially now that Wendell's gone, even though I think he would be even if Wendell came back.
Yeah.
He is a generational type of recruit. When we originally got him, he was a 4-star. He was still playing high school at La Lumiere, which is a really, really awesome high school, but he wasn't at Prolific Prep yet, where he dominated his senior year at Prolific Prep. Played against IMG and Oak Hill and those
all
type
those
of
guys.
Exactly. Played against very, very good competition and played his best basketball. Worked all the way up the rankings. He was low 40s, early 50s when he committed to Auburn, and he ended up being the 15th ranked player in the class. That doesn't happen a lot to Auburn recruits. talk about football recruits. They just soar down the rankings. Oh, Auburn. They committed to Auburn. They're definitely not.
And
that
this
good,
is so. Basketball you're talking about too. So he is. You said it. He looks like Sharif Cooper. He's taller than Sharif.
Yeah.
He is the 3-point shooter that Sharif is now with the Cavaliers system.
Yeah.
Because Sharif has developed that shot. But he reminds me of Sharif because he looks like him with the hair, but he's also – he has that ball on a string like very few people do.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to handle the basketball in traffic and, like you said, find the pinpoint pass or make the play on his own, He's a McDonald's All-American. If you watch the McDonald's All-American game,
he's the best player.
In the first half, he was the best player on the court. Made a three-pointer as the buzzer sounded to end half. And it's almost like ESPN went down in the tunnel and went to the locker room and went, the number one point guard in the country is on your team. We need to stop letting Holloway shoot and get this kid to shoot. Because he's got to be the MVP. Because Aiden was the best player out there. And Aiden's going to get a chance to play against the guy he was playing against in that game and shut him down on a drive.
Bronny James.
And Bronny James is going to come with Southern Cal to Auburn, and you'll see a rematch of those two. And he didn't back down from Bronny in that game. I like his toughness. I think he's PG1. I think that he comes in and we get to see what we would have seen had Sharif been able to start game one. You know, when Sharif came in, he had to sit out because of the NCAA is stupid. But this kid's going to get to come in and start right away. And I think the sky's the limit. I don't think he's here more than 2 years, though.
Yeah,
hopefully 2 years. But I don't think more than that.
I think you're getting unlikely that it's going to be 2 years. The closer and closer that this guy gets to playing in an Auburn uniform, which he's down at Auburn now, most of these guys are that we're about to talk about, the newcomers, the transfers in. But Aiden being the lone freshman, he really has an opportunity to do exactly what Sharif could have done if Sharif didn't played more than 12 games and Sharif didn't play in 2020.
Awful.
This is a chance
to really see what Sharif was supposed to have been.
Aiden
is not Sharif. And Sharif is not Aiden. I understand they're different kids, but I felt cheated in 2020 because when he did come in and play, it was like, oh man, this kid is just really good.
Really good. What would it have been like
to have seen him the whole year? Well, you've got a chance to see him the whole year because this kid is Sharif with a better shot.
Yeah, I agree. Aiden is a special, special talent. Just like you mentioned, he'll be able to get a rematch against Bronny James. There are point guards that he's set to play against this year that are in the SEC, that are on our schedule. I'm really excited to watch him play against. Yeah. Boogie Ellis and Bronny James at USC are just two of them that I'm just excited to watch and play against. But there are guys in the SEC as well. I mean, I cannot wait to watch him absolutely destroy Javon Quinterly from Alabama. Can't wait to see what he matches up against Zakai Ziegler and Santiago Vescovi at Tennessee. I mean, that's going to be the prime matchup, even though you're getting, I mean, we're going to talk about this in a second, but you've got some really, really good ball players on this Auburn team and some really, really good scorers. But the prime matchup is going to be the point guard position due to Aiden Holloway and due to what he brings, just like we mentioned, Sharif with a refined 3-point jumper. It's like if Sharif was there now, just as a 19-year-old kid.
Yeah.
So now moving into players coming in, transfers coming in. Obviously, the transfer portal has gotten huge, especially in football and basketball over the past 2-3 years. It is a crucial part of building a team, building a program, is building through the transfer portal, which, if you like it or not, that's the way to win nowadays. And we've seen, look what the national champion, UConn Huskies, they didn't build that. I mean, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the only guy that they got as a high school recruit on that starting five was Sonogo. The rest of them were transfers.
Wow.
So you look at what Florida Atlantic did, you look at what San Diego State did. You look what teams like Arkansas and teams are able to do.
Arkansas builds a whole
State,
new roster every
Texas.
Year.
Texas. You see what these squads are able to do because they're building through the transfer portal because you're getting guys with college experience. You're getting guys that know how to play at a D1 level or a D2 level or even a JUCO level. You're getting guys – I mean, you're getting these studs.
They've been in college weight rooms. That's the biggest difference, in my opinion, is you're getting guys who, like you said, have played against men, and they've been in a college weight room, in a weightlifting program. Even if it's a JUCO, they've still been – it's a different level of weightlifting, body training than high school. And you're playing against – if you even if you go to a JUCO, you're playing against guys that are 20 years old that are players. So, yes, you can really build a roster fast with the transfer portal.
So we're going to talk about two incoming transfers and then a JUCO transfer that that Auburn brought in this offseason. Obviously, the first one I think is the biggest impact, immediate impact at least, is Denver Jones from Florida International. Denver, just like I said, from Florida International, averaged 20.1 points per game as a 6'4" combo guard, played the two, played the three. For Florida International this past year, had some unbelievable performances, including 30-point, 29, 27-point games where he went 12 of 12 or 11 of 11 from the free throw line and 4 of 8 from 3 or 4 of 7 from 3 or 3 of 5 from 3. He really is a special player. Some of his percentages are he went 48% from the field, 37% from the three-point line, and combined over his two seasons at Florida National, he was a consensus 87% free throw shooter, which is just great. And my thoughts on Denver is he is a shot creator and a shot maker. He is able to create his own shots, meaning he's got moves. He's got ways to get himself to the basket. He can finish at the basket when he gets there, whether he's finishing over the top or making a crafty layup move. He can hit spot up threes when you need him to. He is the whole package when you talk about I need a scorer. That's what you got. He's 6'4". He's not going to be a lousy defender. We're not losing anything. I mean, Zepp was an unbelievable perimeter defender, but it's not like you're losing a ton changing from Zepp to Denver Jones. But, man, you're gaining a lot on the offensive side of the ball. He's going to play the two, I believe, at Auburn with him being 6'4". I think that's the perfect size for a two. At the SEC level, he had a little bit of turnover troubles at his time at FIU. I think he took on a lot of the playmaking.
I think he was playing the one, playing the two.
Yeah. Took a lot on the chin at Florida Atlantic. Took a lot on himself.
Florida International.
Excuse me. Yeah. I just don't think he's going to be doing that at Auburn. I think that's going to be Aiden. That's going to be Trey. So I think he's going to be able to take that more scoring mentality. When he gets the ball, go get 2 points, go get 3 points, go finish. If you can't finish, find freaking Janai Broome down inside or find Jalen Williams or get it to Aiden. We've got more scoring options now. And the biggest impact is going to be Denver.
So he's a kid who's from Conference USA with Florida International, averaged 20 points in Conference USA. This is a conference that had a Final Four team, had a
NIT champion,
and had a champion of the other tournament.
Yeah.
This isn't a bunch of slouches. This is a pretty good conference.
Yeah.
So I like to look at it as what did we replace when we brought Denver in? We replaced Zepp. He is next year, Zepp Jasper.
Yes.
Again, I love Zepp Jasper. An elite defender. Denver's not going to give you the elite defensive playing. However, Denver is going to be 4 inches taller than Zepp. Zepp was maybe 6 feet.
Yeah.
So he's going to be longer. He's going to be able to defend. And it's a scoring option at the scoring guard, at the shooting guard. We did not have that with Zepp. You have that when KD plays in that slot. So now you've just upgraded and added a shooting guard to the two slot and taken away a kid that was just defense.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Zepp did not provide much on the offensive end. We all wanted it. We wanted him to shoot it more. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to have to ask Denver Jones to shoot it more. I think he's going to shoot it.
I was looking at his stats before we started recording, And there are a lot of games, and I understand he was the guy for Florida International this season. Like, he was the only scoring threat that he had. But there were games where he shot 18, 16, 17,
he's not gonna get 21 shots.
I don't think he's going to get that many. I agree, because we have a bunch of scoring options on this Auburn team next year. But he's not going to be shying away from going and scoring and going and letting it fly, especially from the outside. He's a good outside shooter. So really excited about Denver moving forward. He really completes this Auburn backcourt. I think Aiden and Denver are your starting at 1 and 2 next year. I think that is a huge upgrade from Wendell and Zapp.
I would agree.
And then you bring back your backcourt duo and Trey and KD, who are just going to get better as well.
Yeah.
A lot of people aren't giving, and we're going to talk about KD in a second, but a lot of people aren't giving credit. KD could have left and been a guy somewhere else. He chose to come back, understanding that Denver's going to be brought in to take his spot, and KD's still here. And y'all, I understand KD struggled at the beginning of last year.
He didn't at the end.
But at the end, he was clicking. He was shooting the ball well. Yeah. It looked like the KD that we saw from a year ago, back when he was playing with Jabari and Walker.
I'd love for KD to demand that starting slot.
Absolutely.
Because if we can get Denver coming off the bench, a kid that averaged 20 at FIU, then you know that KD's playing – top of his game, NBA type of KD.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah,
I'm excited about that competition.
I am too.
But super excited about Denver Jones coming to this Auburn team. Now moving on to the other transfer from UAH, Chaney Johnson, played at Thompson High School in Alabaster. 6'7", 215. In his three seasons at the University of Alabama at Huntsville, he was the conference player of the year last year, shot 37% from three last year. But I just look at Chaney. I think he's going to play the four. I think he's going to back up a guy like Jalen Williams, who we'll talk about in a second. I think he could play the three. I think we could see him out there. He's 6'7", so he's got the body to play either. Jalen's 6'8", and plays the four just fine. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, it's not having Jabari at the four. Jabari was 6'10", 6'11". But he is a physical athlete. This dude is big upper body. He can jump out of the absolute gym. He's going to be the guy that we want to throw up
lob to because
you have a guy like Aiden who's going to be able to throw those. The guy to throw that lob to is going to be Chaney Johnson. He finishes over the top of the rim. He's a solid enough shooter. I think the only reason he wasn't a top prospect coming out of Thompson, coming out of high school, is he wasn't refined. He was extremely, extremely raw. He comes into UAH.
Do you remember playing against him when we played at Thompson when you were in Chelsea?
I don't.
I'm sure we probably did. They were very good, and they have a very nice facility. So I was spending more time looking at the cool gym that they have for their high school team. Looks like a college gym.
It does.
I think what he does is – so if you're going to go get a guy from a lower level, it's D2. I think UAH is D2.
It is.
So D2. If you're going to go get a guy from a lower level – you go get the best player you can find at that level. And this guy's player of the year in his conference. So you've gone and gotten the best player out of that conference to come in and to compete at a three or a four. I'd like to see him play the three, because then you're starting 6'4", 6'7" at the two and the three, and 6'8" and 6'11" at the four and the five.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we're a taller team.
Yeah.
So I think he probably – I would slot him in, fighting with Chris Moore at the three, because I think Chris Moore is going to be better than he was last year. And to be honest with you, I don't want to leave out Leor, because I think Leor proved some things last year when Chris Moore got hurt. So, but I think Chaney kind of comes in and provides that competition at the three. And maybe plays a little bit of the four, can back up Jalen if we want to go small.
I Well, okay. I see what you're saying about him coming in and competing at the three. I think there's a better chance that he competes at the three for playing time because listen, if Jalen doesn't get at least 32, 33 minutes per game this upcoming year, there's issue. He's got to play. Jalen's probably, I understand with Jedi coming back, he's going to be the dog, but Jalen's going to be the best overall player on the team. He's the Swiss Army knife. We've talked about that for what, 3 years now? Mm-hmm. Coming in as a fifth year senior, he's coming back. We'll talk about Jalen here in a second. But I think there's better opportunities for him to compete at the three. But I think Johnson taking those 8 to 10 minutes that Jalen is not on the floor as the four man, mm-hmm. I think he's the best option there. He's taller than Chris Moore.
He's better than Chris Moore.
He's more physical.
Yes, I agree. I think Chris Moore's got to play the
three. When Jalen comes out,
you've got to have somebody that's going
to. You've got to have somebody that comes in and takes in the four because I don't know if you want Cardwell and Broom on the floor at the same time. I mean, you could go extremely big and have those two up there at the same time. But I don't really like that idea. Obviously, we're not the head coaches there, so it could happen. So we'll
see.
We'll see. But I like Chaney competing for those 8-7 minutes and then a few at the three.
I'm fine with that. Yeah.
I think if he ends up with 11 minutes a game, having 7 or 8 at the four and then 4 or 5 in a stretch, maybe at the end of a half or something at the three.
Get a shift in there at the three.
When Jalen's out there at the same time and you want to go bigger. Or you use that to your lineup advantage. You have a guy who can play the three or the four, can guard the three or the four, but is 6'7". You're playing a team with a 6'8" three. Maybe you want to start Chaney at the three that game.
Yeah.
Even though you do have, and the next guy we're going to talk about is another 6'7" three, but he's not we'll talk about the difference in between those two players. Chaney, I think, is a better defender. I think he's going to be your versatile. What if, like, if he's able to do this, let's.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's move him around. I think Chaney's going to be the guy that kind of moves around a lot. So, but I'm excited to watch him play. I'm excited to see what he's able to do, especially coming from a D2 school like UAH. So, but the next guy, the JUCO transfer, Chad Baker Mazzara, commits to the Tigers. He originally started his career at
Duquesne,
mm-hmm. then transferred to San Diego State. Mm-hmm. At San Diego State, he won Sixth Man of the Year and shot 39% from three. That's outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
He's 6'7". Keep that in mind. 6'7", 205, 215 or something like that. Mm-hmm. He's from the Dominican Republic, but after San Diego State, he transferred back to JUCO, went to Northwest Florida. He averaged 15 points a game and shot 47% from three. That's absurd. He's a spot-up shooter, but he can also shoot the ball off the dribble. He can go inside. Yeah, he's not shy.
Excited about him.
We talked about
he's a Jedi Broom type of personality.
Yeah. We talked about that when we were talking about how we're going to get in Allen's head. Mm-hmm. I mentioned that's going to be Jedi and Chad Baker Mazzara's job. He really is that type of guy. He's not shy. He's not going to shy down from absolutely anything, especially coming from the Dominican Republic. And, playing at three different schools, this is four schools he's going to be playing at. This guy has something to prove. And what he's going to prove, and what I think he absolutely is going to prove, is he's the best shooter on this basketball team.
I think so, too.
He shooting 47% in a season, I don't care what kind of level you're at from three. That's still from the college three-point line. That's outstanding. In his final seven games for this past year, I mean, this is what really got him this Auburn look at the three spot. His final seven games for this past year from three, he went 22 of 36, which is a crazy 61% from three. That would be, I mean, if he shot 61% from three this past year, I think Auburn may win the national championship.
Yeah, we needed a three-point.
If we needed him last year
to take defenders off of our point guard.
Yeah.
And we didn't have that at the two or the three.
No, you didn't. And last year, Wendell
– kind of our best three-point shooter was our four.
Yeah, it was Jalen.
I mean, you want Jalen to shoot that.
Absolutely.
Because he's a mid-30%. But now you got guys that can shoot it in the 40% range at the 2 and the 3. That's like a dream come true.
I think that – okay, and we're going to talk about these three guys in a second. But the three guys that are coming back from the draft, Dylan, Jalen, and Janai, and I'll include Aiden Holloway in this. The additions of Denver Jones and Chad Baker-Mazzara completely changed the opportunities that Jalen, Dylan, Janai, and Aiden are going to get throughout the entire year.
Absolutely.
Because if you're going to compare Denver and Chad to Zepp and, say, Allen, you're talking about spacing problems, extreme spacing problems. And Janai and Jalen and Wendell last year.
We just talked about how we would defend Allen. I'm going to back off of him,
yeah,
and I'm going to put another body in the lane to where guys that want to drive to the bucket are going to struggle.
Yeah,
and now you can't back off of these guys. They can shoot 40%. You can't back off of them. It opens the lane. It opens the lane for a Sharif-like point guard to get into the lane and do damage. You saw what Sharif did when he could get into the lane. He'd kill guys, lobbing the ball up, laying it up, fancy footwork, whatever. So, yes, it makes all three of those guys better.
Absolutely. So let's talk about those three guys, the guys that entered the NBA draft while maintaining their college eligibility and before the deadline decided to forego the draft and return to Auburn, coming back to college basketball. That is Dylan Cardwell. Came back. Jalen Williams came back. He will be a fifth-year super senior, using that COVID year of eligibility that he got. And Janai Broome comes back as well. And he comes we're going to spend a lot of time talking about Janai, but I first want to talk about Dylan and Jalen kind of together. Okay. Dylan comes back. He entered the draft last season and went through the process. Absolutely. I think basketball – basketball, NBA has the right system in place for these college guys to get feedback before the draft and then have the options to either sign with an agent and stay in the draft due to the feedback that they're getting, or come back to college, work on something that maybe one of these pro scouts or teams have told them to work on and move forward.
Yeah. And
Dylan did
that. So did Jalen. I think both of them get a good opportunity to go, all right, scout, where would you see me? And the scout says, probably third round. Here's why. Here's what, if you were to do this better, is probably a second round grade or a first round grade. Well, then you can go back to school and go, okay, Coach Pearl, the scout told me I needed to work on my outside jumper, or the scout told me as Dylan Cardwell, I need to get 15 rebounds a game. Then this is what you work on, and you can work on it while getting your education, and now you can get paid. So it's all three worlds are there. Mm-hmm. So Dylan coming back is awesome because Dylan is Auburn basketball.
Yeah.
Jalen coming back is awesome because he's the best player on our team.
Yeah.
But getting Janai to not go to the NBA, because we were watching, you and I were watching his stats pop up from Combine. So he went to the junior Combine
I'll lay out the whole timeline here. When people were announcing it right after Auburn lost to Houston, Then these players had the opportunity to announce if they were going to the NBA draft and going through the process and or maintaining their eligibility. And Dylan and Wendell and Jalen and
Janai
did all those things. And Wendell decided to stay, and Dylan, Jalen, and Janai came back. But before, Janai was invited to the NBA G League Combine, which is just like the NBA Combine, but for – players who may not necessarily be at that level or fit that yet to come and prove that they do and get an invite to the NBA Combine. Or eight guys from the G League Combine, or for them to get looks from these G League teams and talk to these G League scouts and coaches and stuff like that. Janai goes to this G League Combine and
tears it up.
Has two scrimmages. One, he had like 23 and 12, and then had a 20 and 11, and like six blocks in each game, and was destroying people and like making threes and having these spin jumpers and falling away and blocking shots, doing everything, tearing these people up. He then gets invited, one of the eight, to the NBA Combine.
It was at that point that I went, okay.
Wait, oh my God.
Okay. But he's stepped up a level now.
Yeah.
So he's going to see that, yes, he needs to come back to school. And then what the first NBA scrimmage, or
he had
NBA
20 and 11.
He had 20 and 11. I went, he's gone.
They're going to pick him. Gone. He's going to be a second round pick.
The draft. Yeah,
so, when he first entered the draft, I was like, surely all these guys are NBA ready just yet. I think Jalen and Janai have chances to play in the NBA one day, but not
this year.
Yet. Not this upcoming year. Well, Janai goes and tears up the G League Combine, gets invited, and then scores, then plays incredible in the NBA Combine, and all of his measurables have come back unbelievable. He's performing well in these tests that they're doing, and it's like, okay, what is happening? We're about
Who's going to play center?
Who's going to play center?
The starting center
is Dylan Cardwell, the starting center, which I love Dylan, but we really needed Janai coming back. And then on Memorial Day, he announced that he was going to come back and play for Auburn this upcoming year. And with that announcement, I think that officially makes him the top center in the SEC. After our former National Player of the Year Oscar Tshiebwe has decided to stay in the draft, Colin Castleton's staying in the draft from Florida. I think those are the only two guys that compete with Janai Broom for that starting for that top center spot in the NBA, and both of them are gone. So I think Janai has firmly placed himself as that best center in the SEC.
Yeah.
And he has a chance, just like we were saying earlier with the spacing, he has a chance to have an even better year than he had this past year. He was all SEC second team this past year and was very, very good and had games where he was the dominant player. I know we don't like to remember games that we lost, but that Georgia game at Georgia where nobody else could make a shot. Janai had 26 and 12 and four blocks. It was like
the problem last year.
Yeah.
Is nobody else could make a shot. So we can double team the tall kid in the post and make it harder on him. And the only guy that could ever make a shot was our other big guy.
Yeah.
And it was like just you could collapse everything. It's how A&M beat our team 2 years ago by sucking everybody into the lane and playing zone. Well, they did it at Auburn again this year, and then that one kid went nuts on us.
Yeah,
but it's they play zone against Auburn because they didn't have shooters. Well, now we've got shooters, so let's see what Janai can do. I think he can do it well. We've talked about these three guys, and we've kind of gone over the whole group of guys. So who's your starting five this year? You have to name it right now.
Who's my starting center?
No, my starting five.
Oh, my starting five. Aiden at the one.
Yeah.
Denver at the two. I think those two incoming immediately come in. I think the only competition
is the two.
Is the two
with KD.
With KD, I think KD has a chance to come in and say, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa! You're coming in to back up me."
Yeah, he has a chance to do that
because of how well he played at the end of last year, and because he's a two-year returner and. So he does. He has a chance to do that. And he's older and extreme SEC experience. That's another thing.
Yeah.
These
are three of them.
I think it's Chad Baker-Mazzara. I think the spacing that he would provide as a spot-up shooter compared to a more scorer of a mentality from Denver the playmaking score dog, PG1 of Aiden. I think that would create great, great spacing, unlike what we had for our first three positions this past year. They're talking about. And then you put Jalen and Janai down there and see what they can do with that spacing we were just talking about. Because just like you said, we saw double teams and triple teams of Janai when he was clicking on his best, and he was still scoring. And there wasn't a defender in the SEC that really, really made Janai uncomfortable. You can talk about Oscar Tshiebwe. Janai had a great game against Kentucky. He was the only one doing anything against that Kentucky team.
I think that the only way he was uncomfortable is when he didn't have room to move.
He didn't have room. I think you could say the same thing about Jalen Williams.
Yeah.
I think you saw a lot of double and triple teams on Jalen, especially when he was at his absolute best.
Yeah.
When Auburn played Arkansas, or no, it was when Auburn played at home against Mississippi State, Jalen had the first 14 points.
Yeah.
You want to know why? Because Tolu Smith was guarding Jalen, and he was letting him shoot from outside. Well, that was a mistake. Jalen made four straight threes to start the game. Jalen's got the chance to do that and to be that type of absolute best player on the team player, which I think we both agree. But now that he's able to have the spacing, which Janai and Jalen have never had the spacing. Janai, when he was at Morehead State, was the only dude out there. And I remember playing against Janai because I was at that game when he played against Walker. He was the only one that was competing. And I was like, I mean, that kid's kind of good. He was the only one that was doing anything. So he's never had that spacing. Jalen has never had that spacing because year one, he kind of came in the very end. And got cut off too short due to COVID. In the 2020 year, didn't really have a lot of spacing in that year because when Sharif was out there, there wasn't a lot of spacing, but he was able to find Jalen in spots.
Yeah.
That's when we saw Jalen take a big leap. Allen was taking a big leap because of a guy like Sharif.
Because Sharif could get in.
He could get him.
He could beat anybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's where Aiden looks like Sharif, is that he can – take his guy and get to the lane from anywhere on the floor.
Yes. That's in 2021, he was the backup. He was playing with
Jabari and Walker.
Yeah, he wasn't playing, but he wasn't playing with Jabari and Walker.
He was behind Jabari.
He was playing with Wendell. He was playing with Zepp a lot. He was playing with KD a lot. He was playing with Chris Moore a lot.
Yeah.
And that spacing wasn't good for a guy like Jalen Williams. He was also playing the five a lot when Walker would get in a foul trouble.
Yeah.
We'd have to get Dylan out there, and then Dylan would play 20 minutes. I guess put Jalen out there.
Yeah.
Or I guess put Jabari out there. Yeah. I don't know. And then this past year, the spacing was not good. It was just not good. But the spacing has a chance to be unbelievable this upcoming season. I think Jalen and Janai are going to be the two benefactors to that. Both of them are all SEC players. Both of them are going to be all SEC players again. So – now, okay.
So let me couch this way. We've talked for how long? An hour and change?
Yeah.
And probably if you've listened to it, you've gone, well, I feel pretty good about this Auburn team. I mean, it sounds like we've got a really good team.
Yeah.
You guys are really excited about it. And we are really excited about it. Let me tell you who's not really excited about it.
Everybody else.
Everybody else. So the top 25 from CBS Sports just released their top 25 plus one for the upcoming basketball season. They always do a top 25 plus one, and they do it every week during the college basketball season.
Yes.
The number one team is obviously Kansas. Purdue's number two. They've got Edie coming back. Duke is number three. And number four is Florida Atlantic. A lot of love for Florida Atlantic.
Extremely.
The first SEC team on their list is Arkansas at 11. Arkansas is always going to be good.
Okay, here's my point on Arkansas. they could either be really, really good and really, really unstoppable due to all their really, really good recruits and transfers that they have coming in, mm-hmm. or they could not mesh well together. Their coaching is not good enough to get them past not meshing well together. Eric Musselman's a great recruiter. I do not think he's a better coach than a lot of the coaches.
He's an NBA SEC. Coach. He depends on their talent.
He can put them all together and can scout that sort of talent. But he has not proven that he is going to be able to win a championship with that. He can, prove he can get to the Elite Eight.
But he's never going to.
He's not going to go farther than that. So that's my portal on Arkansas. They could be very, very good this upcoming year, and I could look.
They're getting
very,
some
very
love.
Stupid.
They're at 11,
of course, because they've got all the sorts of recruits.
Another team that's coming in here is at number 12, getting a lot of love, is Southern Cal. But they're very good.
They are very good.
Added Bronny James to that backcourt. Which is,
I think, really Southern good. Cal is considerably better than Arkansas. I think Southern Cal, the Southern Cal matchup is my one of the ones I'm really, really looking forward to, especially since it's in Neville, especially since we lost to them last season.
Shouldn't have.
But you're going to see matchups like Aiden and Denver against Bronny and Boogie Ellis and Isaiah Collier, who's a five-star recruit. And then they've got their whole front court returning, and we've got our whole front court returning.
It'll be fun.
That's going to be a great matchup there.
So Tennessee's getting love at 14. A&M, Texas A&M's getting love at 15, maybe a little higher than I would have had them. Alabama, who I don't know that they've got much. They get some guys returning. They're at 17. But I keep going down here, and the next highest one is Mississippi State. They've got Tolu Smith coming back. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't really surprise me. They're at 25, but Auburn's not mentioned. Not mentioned. And we've discussed and decided that Auburn's got a chance to be better than they were last year.
Absolutely.
And they made it the second round of the tournament. So I think that we're not getting love there on a national media side, and a lot of it comes from Bruce Pearl. I know they don't like him. I know they don't respect him. That's fine. I can guarantee you that Bruce Pearl will use this and put it up in the locker room. But there's one team on here that comes in right behind Alabama at 18 that we get to see really early in the year.
First game of the year.
First game of the year against the Baylor Bears.
So
that's a game.
Last year, there were people complaining. And other SEC fans of other SEC schools complaining about lackluster Auburn's non-conference schedule is. And it wasn't – I'm not here to say that that's not true, because we played some teams that were just not very good last year. Obviously, we went to USC and to Washington. The two USC game looks pretty good, especially now. Mm-hmm. You lost that one, but that Washington team was absolutely garbage.
The Northwestern game looked pretty good, although the game was ugly as sin. But they ended up being pretty good. But you didn't play a lot of big-name teams.
That changes.
We're playing a big-name team start out.
Yeah, you play Baylor day one.
In Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
So
why is
Baylor?
A team
Baylor
from
played there.
Southern Texas and a team from Southeast Alabama going to Sioux Falls, South Dakota in November. It's going to be cold.
To play basketball.
I know. So Baylor played there last year.
Yeah.
I guess it's something that I didn't even
it's
know.
It's a kickoff? I've never heard of it.
I've never heard of it either.
I'll just say it right now. I love the matchup.
It'll be fun.
I love Scott Drew's Baylor's team, man. He has changed Baylor sports in general because he won a national championship there. And Auburn's got slight connections to Baylor because of obviously the matchup in 2020?
Yeah,
we
went 12.
There's about 8 or 9.
At Baylor. And then we played them in the tournament too, didn't we?
I don't remember playing them in the tournament, but Davion Mitchell played at Auburn and then won a national championship at Baylor. Now is a star for the Sacramento Kings.
Really good
defender for Sacramento. So
It'll be fun.
I love the matchup. I love it. And then you get USC later on down the line. You've got some really good tournament teams you can end up playing.
We're in the Maui Classic this year. Did we go to Maui this year?
I can check which.
I think we go to Maui either this year or next year.
I think it's next year because I remember Taha
Pettiford. I think you're right. Pettiford is coming for that. He'll be here for that.
Yes, game. Yes. So Auburn will play. Oh, let's see. Oh,
that's last year.
Yeah, that's last year's schedule. I'm doing this live, so just
know that we played Baylor to start out.
Bear with me real quick.
Playing Baylor to start out. Sioux Falls, South Dakota is not where I would imagine Auburn and Baylor matching up for a basketball game. November 7th, it'll be fun. That'll be a fun game. Look, we can talk about schedule when we get when we get in there.
Yeah, we can have a whole schedule breakdown once we get dates and times we're going to be playing these teams, and we can look at we play in the Champions Classic this upcoming year.
I think you're right.
And I think there's some really good teams. So you got a chance to play some really good dogs. You were talking about it just a second ago. This Auburn team is getting no respect and no recognition from the national media right now.
Won it.
You want that recognition?
Go beat Baylor.
Go into Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and beat the Baylor Bears, who will be a top 15, top 10 ranked team.
They're You'll 18 get recognition. On this one. So right behind our hated people in West Alabama. I think Baylor's probably better than West
Alabama. We'll talk. We'll do a later show on comparing the University of Alabama at Tuscaloosa to Auburn University upcoming basketball season on a later show. That'd be a good topic for a different one. But we'll go ahead and wrap this one up. An hour and 11 minutes of a recap of what has happened these past three months in Auburn basketball.
It's a long show.
this is a long show.
I'm tired.
I am too. But thank you all for joining us.
Let's say War Eagle.
If you want to find either of us on Twitter, you can go to @GrayOldenburg or @WarEagleHoops. You can find more stuff on auburndaily.com. Great stuff going on there, especially with the football and the recruiting stuff. After baseball and football and basketball seasons are over, it kind of just, you know, recruiting has to be a major factor. And there's some great stuff going on at Auburn Daily. You can check it out there. Thank you all for listening. War Eagle.
War Eagle.